Okay, this is Dora Smith with Siemens PLM Software, and I'm here for our chat with Chuck Grindstaff, President and CEO of Siemens PLM Software. Hi, Chuck. How are you today?
Hi, Dora. Good afternoon. Doing well.
Good. So starting off the new year and this podcast, let's share with some folks what's been going on, what's new. And I know we had an internal team meeting recently. There was a few things from there I thought might be interesting. One of the things you talked about was some growth we've had, particularly in number of employees and just the overall company growth. So can you speak to that a little bit? Tell people what's going on.
Oh, well, Dora, obviously we finished our fiscal year and the calendar year since the last podcast. And frankly, we had a great year organically, but the point I was trying to make to the team is, in addition to our really strong organic growth, the four acquisitions that we've been able to accomplish during the year 2012 really have helped us expand the breadth and depth and capability of the team. You know, we talked about, you know, over 1,200 new teammates being part of the overall Siemens PLM worldwide network of professionals, and you know, a lot of them are coming to us with a not only a background in PLM, but special expertise. Might be costing, it might be robotic path planning, and obviously, in the case of LMS, testing, simulation, one-dimensional modeling, what we call 1D modeling for system simulation and systems modeling. So really a great mix of skills, a great new fresh outlook on what PLM means, not only from solution of the problems, but also, you know, what's it like to partner with us and with our competitors. You know, obviously many of the acquisitions were from companies that were already partnered with us or with our competitors, and so we've got a new fresh look at what it means to kind of work with companies like us, and us in particular, from our new teammates. So it's all pretty exciting. And as I said, you know, with 1,200 plus new employees and teammates, we feel we're really starting 2013 in a strong fashion.
You know, one of the things you mentioned in that town hall that I hadn't heard about before was some of these Invention of the Year awards, PLM Invention of the Year. Can you talk a little bit about some of those projects that have been going on?
Well, yeah, you know what? What we've tried to do is, you know, over the years, we've got lots of technology that's really pretty unique and very trendsetting. What we try to do is really single out some of those inventions that we think are going to have the most customer impact over the coming years. One of them we talked about at the town hall was what we call our Invention of the Year. This is our new massive model visualization. Just to give you a sense of it, it's really focused on real-time rendering and visualization of huge assemblies. And for, you know, obviously we've always differentiated ourselves on overall performance for assembly modeling visualization. But this new set of tools gives us an order of magnitude improvement in performance. You know, something that took, 200, 300 seconds in the past can take 20 seconds or 30 seconds now with this new set of tools. Dramatically reduced memory footprint. Of course, the team that did that is, some great computer scientists, but what they've done is really created that engine that we can use in a variety of applications as our customers try to scale to the full breadth and complexity of their products. So that was one of them, Invention of the Year. And then we also highlighted kind of a very special area, what we call semi-autonomous digital human posturing. Obviously what this is about is in our Jack tool, being able to give real-time posture adjustment from basic gesture recognition. You know, so you can just give some very high-level points of view about what, where, and how the human needs to reach in and program that on the computer or with some of the input devices. In fact, I think at a couple of the shows we've shown the Microsoft Kinect driving the input to Jack. And the idea is once you give that high-level feedback and direction about what the human's supposed to do in the Jack modeling software, then the software does the rest of the positioning in very deep detail. So this gives the ergonomic feedback, the pressures on the joints and stresses that a particular process and a reach and lift might represent. So both really cool extensions to the core technology, and we're real proud of both of them. So I highlighted them to the team. Good stuff.
Can that second one help me with my overall posture?
Oh, I don't know if it'll help you, but you know, certainly couldn't hurt, you know, me or some of the other people who slouch a lot to have Jack show us what kind of pressure we're putting on our spine when we're not sitting up straight.
So you talked a little bit about this massive model visualization, and I don't know if JT played into that, but I wanted to talk a little bit about some things with JT. And, you know, just a couple weeks ago, they had a little holiday. It's called Kid Inventor Day. And I asked my son on the way to school, I said, what would you invent if you could invent anything? And he had become really frustrated that you can't play certain games on the iPad because, you know, they're flash-based or whatever. And he said, I just want to create software that works on every machine. And so I'm like, okay, he's a fan of open software. Good. So let's talk a little bit about what's new in this area of OpenPLM, particularly with JT. We had a recent announcement around ISO. There's also an announcement in December around 3D Sync. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with our open software.
Well, we are extremely proud to finally get full selection and certification of JT as a accepted worldwide ISO standard for viewing and sharing of lightweight 3D product information, just to solve the kind of problem that your son was talking about, being able to display, interrogate, measure 3D models on a variety of platforms. You know, obviously, this is something that we really wanted to do for quite a while. I don't know if on these blogs we've talked about it, but I'm sure if any of the people listening have been to a users group meeting or another venue where I've spoken, JT plays a very important part in our overall strategy of being able to idealize the geometry, analyze it, communicate, share, collaborate, not only with information that was authored in our CAD systems, but systems of our partners and competitors. Well, we set out to get JT generalized, to give it really over to the open community so that not only could we benefit from it, but our partners and again, maybe even competitors take advantage of it. In order to accomplish that, we really needed to have the JT formats and really enshrined as a standard. And now is ISO IS 14306, I think, is the actual standard. It is exactly that. It provides for the ability of anybody to pick up, use JT, write code around it, and know that you know, there is a future and a support for it. So this is great. We're excited. It took a long, long time to get the standard really documented properly and fully approved. But you know, frankly, the team stuck with it and they got it done. And we're real excited. And now we're working on, you know, version 2.0 so we can, you know, go even faster and stronger. So that's JT. JT is an ISO standard, really cool stuff, and really the culmination of a lot of work. And then you mentioned 3D Sync. 3D Sync is an interesting solution as well. What we're trying to do with 3D Sync is allow for our customers to edit geometry, again, that came from our systems or from other systems, in order to mark it up, to give an idea for what changes might be appropriate in a design review, but also to make the modifications that would be necessary to release it in certain circumstances. What this does is 3D Sync supports STEP, it supports iJES, it supports Parasolid, supports JT, the format we were just talking about, and allows people to import that data and operate on it in a very general way using our synchronous technology engine. So this means they can push and pull and modify the geometry for as I said, workflows such as 3D markup. Not markup in the sense of putting a label on it, but markup in the sense of here's the new shape that I might want to try in a design, or actual, as I said, final design and release. So we're quite excited by it. It allows our customers to use data that they might have thought was not all that useful, maybe only good enough for viewing. Now we can take that in and do modifications. Real great step forward in terms of customer choice and possibilities.
Yeah, I think that's further proof of, you know, we've talked about openness usually in terms of culture, data, products, or communities. It sounds like these are both examples of both open data and open products. So.
Well, that's the idea. Yep.
Okay. You know, last time we talked a little bit about culture in mergers and acquisitions. So we talked a little bit about acquisitions, but I wanted to come back to LMS since I think there's been a lot more work going on in that integration. And, you know, within our tenets of HDPLM, one of them is intelligently integrating information, which is key to these kind of technology integrations. I want to see if you could talk a little bit about that. I know you've been meeting more with that team, and kind of what do you see as the vision and as the reality as what's going on right now with the integration?
Well, we could, thanks, Dora. Yeah, we can talk a lot more about LMS now that, you know, the acquisition transaction is concluded. You know, obviously the big challenge for us in this, under the tenet, as you point out, of intelligently integrated information is how do we model the earliest phases of a design, refine those models all the way through to final detail, and then take that those detail models into the physical world. When you look at the set of tools and technology that LMS has amassed over the years, you see that it fits squarely in this whole domain of what we call systems-driven product development. And that is where you can model in a mathematical sense the whole interaction of a complex set of controls and systems within maybe a suspension of a car or within the entire vehicle, which is in effect a system of systems, or a vehicle in the context of other vehicles, which is a system of system of systems. So LMS has these one-dimensional mathematical modeling tools that allow us to simulate at that mathematical level, and then in addition to that, to begin to connect together the more detailed CAD models and kinematic models and dynamic models that we have built up around our kinematic analysis and simulation of structural elements. We can now merge those together into a continuous stream around what we call the V model of engineering, where we go from the course down to the fine detail at the component part level and provide validation throughout that entire journey. LMS provides not only additional components down that V, but it also provides connection to the validation and simulation side. Validation being hardware in the loop, testing and test equipment, and obviously the simulation being the tools that they have for structural noise, vibration, harshness, and other analytical solutions. So between what we're doing on the software side, what we're doing on the hardware side, what we've been able to assemble together with the NX tools, TeamCenter, Technomatics, and now the LMS suite, we really have that entire V covered. There's lots of work that we'll continue to do to fully integrate and leverage that technology, but we're much further along now by combining the two companies together and really achieving that vision of a systems-oriented design that has all the configuration complexity, all the project management, and all of the course-defined reconciliation and evolution that our customers are expecting in the future. So real exciting stuff where the LMS team is fully on board now. We concluded the transaction, I guess, about 6 weeks ago, and we're off to the races.
Is there anything, when you talk about integrating all of that, I mean, that's pretty complex. It's a lot of different software systems that you're bringing together. Is there any key either lessons learned or key things you advise a team to make that a success? Because it's pulling a lot of pieces together.
Well, you know, over the years, we've done a lot of acquisitions, but I think where we are at right now is a much more, certainly refined approach to how we bring companies into Siemens PLM software. We've got a very organized approach to various work streams from the business side, HR, technology, so that we can really in parallel work on all of the things necessary to get the acquired company up to speed with the internal processes we have, up to speed with the roadmaps and the technology trends and innovations that are going on in the other groups, and vice versa. We've got a set of integration leaders that are there in Leuven already. We're working hand-in-hand with the LMS colleagues, really quite a tremendous team. That same methodology is what we're using at Perfect Costing and KineoCam, and that we went through with our Vistagy acquisition. So we're getting better and better each time that we do this. The process is going smoother and faster. We'll do our first employee health check. And by that, it's just a quick little survey, see how the LMS guys are feeling about the Siemens acquisition. You know, are they getting their questions answered? Are they feeling like their future requirements are being understood and listened to? And really, you know, how does it feel to be part of a new company? You know, obviously many of them spent years and years and years as an independent company, and now being part of Siemens, you want to be sure that we're not confusing people. And so this first health check or pulse check will go out in a few weeks, and we'll get a sense for how well we're doing with each of the employees. But so far, feedback I'm getting is quite positive.
That's great. Yeah, I remember when we did some of those health pulse checks after Siemens acquired us, and so it was good to get feedback both sides.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get even better answers back from LMS than we gave to Siemens when we were acquired, right?
Yeah. So, hey, the last thing I wanted to touch on was just something, you know, there's been some great moments over the last year where I think many of us as Siemens PLM software employees have felt pretty proud to be a part of our company. But one that I think is kind of a first is seeing a television commercial be launched around SpaceX. Do you want to talk just a little bit about that story and that commercial?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, you know, SpaceX is a great company. It's obviously one of the first and certainly the furthest along commercial endeavors to provide both lift capability, that is rockets, and then capsules on top of them. And as you know, last year, the Dragon capsule was able to successfully dock with the International Space Station so that it went through a major milestone in its overall pathway to being a supply vehicle for the space station. And you know, when that Dragon capsule was just docking with the space station, we thought, well, you know, this might be a great example of both a high-tech company, a new business model, and our technology that the rest of the world would want to know about. So, you know, we put together this commercial with them. It's great to highlight the wonderful stuff that they've done, and at the same time, start to let the world outside of our own customer base know how Siemens is doing in the software world, which is really pretty amazing. You know, Siemens is not a brand around the world that has been in the past associated with software development, and so we thought a commercial that showed how we're doing it, how we're providing the software tools that enable development of such great products as the SpaceX products, that people would get a sense for what we're capable of, and hopefully that's working where the commercial's running. I know I'm glad to see it running on the various business channels here in the U.S. The main thing is to let the world know that Siemens does produce the most sophisticated and best software for industrial applications on the planet, and you know, to see that those guys at SpaceX being successful with it is great. You know, the Mars rover landing was another good example. We don't have a commercial running for that one, but I know it's a great story as well.
Definitely. All right, great. Well, Chuck, we thank you for taking the time with us today, and wish you good luck on your next set of travels, and we'll catch up with you hopefully in the near future.
Okay, Dora, thank you.